Blog Talk Radio.
I get to bring on a dude that I admire, a man that I respect, a man that is truly dedicated to his work and his passion. The craft that he belongs to, many strive to succeed in this aspect of the artistry, but many never get this far. With that being said, I want to welcome not only a tremendous artist, but my brother in life, my brother in a walk, Mr. Nate White from Nate White Music. What's happening, homie?
What's up, buddy? How you doing tonight?
I'm just chilling, man. I'm watching the world tear themselves apart over something that
yes.
They don't have control over anyway. You know, and my thought and sentiments are life must go on, the show must go on. You know, the last time I had you on, you were just finishing up your three albums. You were getting them mixed and mastered, and man, they're righteous, to be quite honest with you. But along that path came the coronavirus and the lockdowns, and kind of just shut the door on everything, including the sports world and every aspect that I'm indulged in. How hard was it for you as an artist, knowing that you were just about to peak and show the world what you're capable of, only to have to take a step back, bro?
Yeah, it's a crazy world right now. I tell you what, I had right before all this happened, I say mid-March, I think, is when the whole lockdown thing started. And, I had, you know, a podcast circuit I was getting ready to go on and start promoting this, and we were getting the vinyls, the lacquers were sent from LA to Nashville to have them pressed, and then everything shut down. So now, you know, there's been some backup and with that whole process, we're actually pulling out of Nashville and getting it pressed elsewhere in Canada. So it's still going to be a while, man. Still going to be, you know, it's this whole thing set me back, obviously, you know, a couple months and whatever. And I had a couple shows booked, and thing obviously you can't, you know, with the social distancing, that went out the window. So we rescheduled those, and hopefully the venue will be open and ready to go on those dates. If not, then, you know, we'll have to take another step sideways and wait it out. But, you know, it's for the best, I guess, with everything's going on. And you know, I lost my job that I worked with for 15 years. Worked for a, you know, trade show and display company. So with this whole thing as well, it just kind of put on pause, which is obviously the first time I think anybody in this world has ever gone through something like this. But, yeah, it hits you, man, for sure.
Yeah. You know, I love that you said that because I'm 55. I'm going to be 56 on the 23rd of this month. And I've definitely never walked down this path. And so, I mean, it's all new to us. But to see the spirit and the aspect that you still portray is tremendous because they might be able to stop you from performing, but they can't stop you on social media. They can't stop you on different platforms and getting your music out. So that's one tremendous aspect and one way to look at it. You know, right before this all happened, a good buddy of mine that I had on my show and tremendous, tremendous talent, DJP, the winner of Mixed Masters,
Danny.
I think it was season 2 or 3, I can't remember, but he won
yeah,
it anyway.
I think it was 2,
Yeah, he's been on my show several times. He reached out to you, he heard your music, and he decided to do a correlation with Hoodstrong Records. What did that mean to Nate White, Nate White Music?
Oh, it's awesome, man. I've known Danny and his brother Mark for, you know, for years, and man, I'll never forget the old Burgundy Room days when he'd be up there spinning that vinyl, you know, while All You Can Drink Mondays. But that guy has been he is the premier DJ to me anywhere in this country. You got the guy. I mean, like you said, he won Master of the Mix, and he was the only one spinning real vinyl. And it just goes to show, you know, hard work and dedication will outdo technology and any day. But Danny called me up and he said, man, I've heard a couple of your tracks and they're incredible. So I went over to his house and we kind of worked out some things. And he said, you know, Nate, I'd love to, you know, because he, like you said, he won the Master Mix and he opened or started his own record label, Hoodstrong Entertainment. And he's got one other artist on there right now. He's a rapper. I believe the album name is Butterfly. But he's amazing as well. And I was just honored just to go there, and he heard the whole album. He's like, man, we got to get this out. You know, so he's helping me tremendously with everything and been a true brother for sure.
Yeah, you know, I want people to know about this dude because I don't brag about it on social media, but I had him on my show and he heard a couple artists that I had on that you know of. You know, I had Metanoise, I had Matt Squabbles. Young King. And
Matt Squabbles is awesome.
Yeah, DJP took a liking to Matt Squabbles. He got him on that cruise tour with Kid Rock and Redman and Method Man and him. And then he went from there to the Backpack Tour in California, did that, and then he started opening up for Busta Rhymes. But none of that would have been possible if it wasn't for DJP. And, you
right.
know, but he doesn't brag about it. He doesn't talk about what he does. He's one of the most essential aspects of the artistry. And
100%.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because all three of us are from the 417.
Yep.
And the mentality of our community and a lot of people's thoughts are you can't become nothing from the 417. I'm going to throw another name to that mix because the world knows him. And you and I know that for a long time he would do shows and half the time there might be 10, 12 people there. And he's a tremendous rap artist. And for some reason, I'm having a brain fry right now on his name. You know who I'm talking about. Oh, my God, I can't believe Tech N9ne. You know, Tech N9ne is from this area. He was one of the reasons why, you know, we were going to buy a club right downtown on the square. We were going to buy the Juke Joint. And he was one of the main reasons why we were going to buy this place because we believed in local talent that wanted to become greater than what the area offered. We wanted to promote these types
right.
of individuals so the world could see them. Unfortunately, the person that put the bid up against me came up with a balloon payment of $25,000 in the time that was allotted to him. Otherwise, we would have owned the business. You know, Nate, you're very compassionate about what you do. You do several different genres. There's always a person that inspires us, intrigues us, or that we've looked up to that has created a certain aspect of the path that we walk. When Nate White looks back to the beginning, what artist truly, well, artist or anybody for that matter, truly inspired you to move forward with your dream?
There's two. I'd say first, big shout out to my mom, because she, you know, she always said, hey, you know, do you, and the world will see who you are. And she's been an inspiration my whole life. But the other one would have to be Jim Wirt. He a producer extraordinaire. Also was in Fool's Face quite a few years back. But the guy has produced Fiona Apple, Incubus. The list goes on and on and on and on. And we were recording with the band I was in, Brand of Freak, and he helped produce that, our last album. And, you know, I had a little one-on-one time with him, and I asked him, I said, hey, man, if you don't think I got it, if you don't think I can make it where to that level, I want to know now so I don't waste my time and everybody else's time, you know. And that guy said, Nate, you got it, man. He said, don't ever stop. And that right there is what keeps me going. And now that I'm started, I can't stop. There's no way. I'm bound and determined to let the world hear what my process is. Because my process now is different than it was when I was in Brand of Freak or Avarice or, you know, a couple of bands I was in before I started doing my own thing. But I really enjoy working with as many professional musicians as possible. And this area is, I mean, I know the world doesn't know, but this, I'm sure there's incredible musicians all over the world, but the 417 music community is incredible. I mean, we're all family. We all know each other. We all, you know, that's the whole reason I started doing this. You know, I wrote all the music and I just bring in different artists and say people that inspired me, you know, people that I shared the stage with, people that taught me things, you know, on the guitar, on the bass, singing, vocally, you know, and worked with these individuals, and they came into my studio and we created magic, man. And I would never do it another way. I think working with different people and different, you really gain their attention when you're not in a band. You know, they're more dedicated to that one or two songs they're playing on and really want to make it sound as good as possible rather than having the egos and the big heads and, you know what I mean. Yeah, I'm kind of done with the whole band thing. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm going to go tour with the band. And that's different, though, because we're playing my music, so it doesn't matter. Like, it's not like big-headed egoness, you know, ego trips and stuff. It's people that want to do this and make a career out of it, you know?
Most definitely. Well, you know, I say we let the world hear a little bit of Nate White, and then we come back and pick the interview up where we left off. This is Melatonin, and I got to tell you, my favorite was The New Heavy. We'll get to that in a minute, but this song right here kind of just, I don't know, it just kind of made me melt and listen to it and lay back and just realize how much talent you had. So I'm not gonna let the world keep guessing. I'm just going to let them hear it and let them make their judgment. I'm going to play it in its entirety because I believe it deserves so. So with that being said, here's Nate White. Melatonin.
You buy, I.
right.
I know. I love silly endings, man.
Oh, I know it. I dig it, bro. You know, your music is so diverse. You know, first, I want my listeners to know he just doesn't do, you know, the heavy metal aspects. There's so many different genres compiled into one brain. You know, Nate, how hard is it for you to diversify yourself into each project, because each project is different?
Right. Well, man, dude, I love all sorts of music, and you know this. And I when I'm focused, man, I kind of like to think that I overthink everything. You just get involved in what you're doing in that particular thing. But the thing with, you know, not only I have different albums and different genres and different personas and different pseudonames and different things like that. The one thing I loved about doing Princess Superhero, you know, just to say Melatonin, that last one you heard, I want to give a big shout out to Mike Evans. Michael Evans, he was in a band called Elijah for many years, and they were so incredible. And also to Brian, Mike Evans does the lead guitar and the vocal harmonies on that one. And Brian Kemp, who was the drummer in Pillbox, plays the drums on that song as well. And you know, I do the vocals and the rhythm and the bass. But it's just, when you work with different people, there's, you know, I worked with, I think there's 14 tracks on the digital album, and there's 8 different drummers, 8 different guitarists. You know, I actually two of the songs on Princess Superhero, including the title track, have guest vocalists. I've got Jeffrey Johnson that sings Shit Brick House and does an incredible job. He used to be the lead singer in Poor Man's Vision, who was an awesome band back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then I've got Rand Cummings, who's in a band called Transylvania, and they play, like, man, it's rock. It's so Iron Maiden-esque. It's incredible. Anyway, the point being is that each song on that one heavy album, Princess Superhero, it's diverse when you're listening through that album. You know what I mean? And that's what I strive for. You know, there's so many people that these days, especially this younger generation, that just pop on Pandora or Spotify or whatever, and it plays random songs. You know, you don't ever get a whole album. So I thought, you know, hey, this album is you don't even have to do that. Every song is so unique to the individuals that I played with on that particular song. You know, you really bring out the individuals that play with me on each song. That's why they sound so different. I mean, yes, I did write them and stuff, but it's the people that helped write them, you know, put their 2 cents over top of what I already had written, that make it what it is. And that's why they're so different. And I love it, man. I mean, I do. It's the most exciting project I've ever worked on. And it's a huge project. It's ridiculous. people think I'm crazy. Might be just a little.
Bro, I even think you're crazy, because I've been in a couple studio sessions with you, and hell, we even, on top of the 3 albums, we even created a Pillbox song that still isn't out there yet, or, you know, or a Cigar Box song, but whatever the hell. We'll get out there. We know that.
Oh, dude, that one's awesome, too. I haven't quite finished that one yet, but dude, it is. It's one of my favorites. It's a good one.
I love it. See, that's one thing I appreciate about you, and, you know, I want people to get a greater understanding, because you're a tremendous father. You know, Project Superhero was a correlation from your daughter. What inspired you to let her dream open up your mind and your world?
Well, they're my life, man. I mean, here's the deal. You know, most people have a nice career and got a 401k and everything, and it all planned out to help their kids. I've been a laborer my entire life. You know, I used to set up, I worked for a tent company that used to go set up huge country music festivals all over the U.S. And so I don't have that backing for them. So everything that I'm doing with this is for them. I mean, it is. I don't want them to look at their daddy and say, oh, he was just a washed-up musician, never made it. I want to make it and to show them. I want them to be proud and them to look at that TV screen or hear it on the radio and say, man, that's my dad right there, you know, and be proud. And they love my music. They always, you know, we get in the car, and I don't really listen to my own music a whole lot, but, man, they kind of force-feed it into me. They really like, my good friend, Diddleships Humper Stump. I think that's their favorite. That's their favorite genre of music to listen to, which is dubstep. But I'll tell you what, the whole Princess Superhero idea, you know, I had no name for this album. I had no nothing. And one day, you know, I asked my daughter on the way to take her to daycare or school. I can't remember. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I asked her, I said, you know, Marley, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, I want to be a princess superhero. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. I was like, who doesn't want to be a princess superhero? You know? And so I just went with that and took the whole comic book theme. And the vinyls are going to be killer, man. The artist, Kel Lauterbach, looks like a comic book, man. It's so cool, man. I really dig it. I can't wait for people to see it and to hear it too. But the whole concept of it was really created by my daughter, because I had no roadway or pathway to take, because I didn't have a name. So I didn't, you know, marketing and all of that. And then once that name hit, I was like, that's the name of my album right there.
You know, I made a statement on the post that said, I'm humbled to share an artist that deserves complete recognition in the industry. And I meant that statement because in our community, there's so many people that tell you that you can't become greater than the area that we live in. And that's such bullshit. And pardon my French people,
right,
but it really is. Because Nate will tell you, and I think he's still mad at me for this. I think he's still mad at me for this. I brought him on the same show with Bone Thugs and Harmony, and he's like, dude,
I'm
how
not
am
mad.
I
thought that was awesome.
But you were like, how am I supposed to follow them up? But, you know, that's what life is about. And I think that's what many of these young people are missing today, is it's not about color. It's not about
right.
the past. It's about equality and brotherhood. And that's why I do my shows the way I do. It's diversity is the key to success. And I feel the only time you should look down on a man is when you're helping him up.
Exactly.
You know, I look back at a legend from the 417 that became one of the greatest blues musicians in the world, and we just lost him recently. And that was Norman Jackson. And I'll never forget the statement he told me when he came back from the World International Blues Festival. Now, mind you, there was almost 15,000 participants. And Norman Jackson and the Norman Jackson Band took third. And he says, well, I took third. You know, I'm kind of let down. I said, bro, there's almost 15,000 people from all over the globe.
Yep.
Taking third, bro, you won. You
True.
Won that competition. I mean, that's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at life. If you out of 15,000 people, if you take third place, you're a winner.
Yes.
You've proved yourself to the world. God rest his soul. He's a tremendous man. We're going to get into another song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about a couple of dates that are coming up. But this is my favorite. This was my first favorite of your music. I love all your music, but I think the world needs to hear, you know, the different layers and complexities to who you are and your thoughts. And so here we go with 73 Degrees, and I'm going to play it in its entirety. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some tour dates and some possible shows coming up.
Inside the pain, overflow. Besides the pain, nothing takes control. at your face. Deep within my cavernous brain. With my heart attacked, it's more like vertigo. It's unexplained. What's that in a color wheel? I never thought I was such a state of gray. What's that when the feeling sucks? So I'll grow mouth to never feel like death. It's coming home really tight. Your feelings never won. You want some fucking bullshit? You are a fucking dick to me. You'll never take this as it. You wanna play me? You want some fucking bullshit? You are a fucking dick to me. You'll never take this as it. You wanna play me?
Artist, and bro, it breaks my heart that this bull crap happened. And then,
yep.
You know, right after the virus, well, the virus is still here according to some aspects, but then we had the riots and things of this nature. But what does it mean for you to possibly have that reunion return performance with Brand of Freak on July 18th?
Oh, I'm stoked, man. And that last track you heard, Untitled 73 Degrees, Matt Browning, the drummer of Brand of Freak plays drums on that track, and I play guitar, bass, and sing and stuff. But he's the man. His feet are amazing. That guy is such a cool guy, man. I love working with him. And but yeah, Bobby, the guitar player, he's kind of the, you know, he's the he started Brand of Freak. You know, they were from Mountain Home, Arkansas, and they went to high school with Riggs, who's in Scum of the Earth, and they hired me to make a long story short, we ended up working with Jim Wirt and opening up and touring around the Midwest, and it was incredible. But Bobby, the guitar player, he called me and he asked me, he said, "Hey, would you want to do a reunion show?" And I said, "Yeah, I mean, I'm always down, you know." And we've had a few rehearsals. Actually, they went really well. I was actually shocked. Like, it's almost like we didn't skip a beat. We just showed up at practice, ran through the set, and was like, "All right, cool." Love those dudes, man. Each and every one of them are great guys. You know, we went through a little shaky time where we disbanded, and you know, it is what it is. But I wouldn't be where I am now if it wasn't for me playing in Brand of Freak and performing and writing and singing and recording with Jim Wirt and Jeff Smith at 2100 Studios. It's amazing. And I can't wait. I really can't. It's not disappointing, but like, I was so pumped, you know, to get Hippie Death Squad, my touring band, you know, for my album. We had the show booked for April 17th, which is like the day before my birthday. So I was all stoked. And then of course this virus thing hit and we had to postpone that. And now the first show I'm going to be playing is actually with my old band, Brand of Freak, which is awesome. I mean, dude, that was some killer stuff, dude. We still have that album mixed, mastered, ready to go, ready to rock. And we just, you know, we disbanded that album in itself is awesome. I mean, and it's a little bit, it's Southern metal. I mean, it's totally different than the thing I'm doing, you know? But it's incredible. I mean, all of them top notch class A musicians, I mean, and professionals, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, man. I would never turn down a show to do with them again. It's just great to get back. I can't wait to get on the stage, Don.
Oh, bro, really, you know, can't. I'm going to be there too. You know, I'm going to be there. But let's say July 18th happens and it's magical. What are the possibilities of Brand of Freak getting back together?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's always a possibility. You know. I love those dudes. I do, man. What are the possibilities of us getting back together? I don't know. We're gonna actually go in and record a couple things in the studio. Coming up here in the next couple stuff, you know, new stuff that a couple of tracks that we had written that we never, we were working on a second album, and you know, that's when we disbanded, and man, these two tracks are awesome. They're I can't wait to perform them again. And we're actually going to be playing those at that show as well. But the possibility, I don't know. I'm kind of really all in on this, Nay White Music enterprise, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it's always a possibility. There's no way I'd turn it down. You know, if somebody wants to invest in Brand of Freak, I'm the first one going to be there, you know?
I feel you on that. 6 days later, Hippie
yeah.
Death Squad, Outland
yep.
Ballroom, you know, you're back on stage again. Back-to-back performances if, you know, situations allow. I mean, this has got to be tremendous because not only are you coming out of the virus, but you're coming out with a bang. You know, you got the reunion with Brand of Freak and then the following weekend at the Outland Ballroom in Springfield, Missouri. You get to show the world what you've been working on for so long. What does that mean to Nate White to be able to go back out there with, your music and Hippie Death Squad?
It means everything. I've been, you know, we've been in isolation for the last couple of months because of this COVID. I've really been in isolation for the last 4 years working on this project. And I can't wait to get back on stage, Don. That's my passion. There is nothing like going out and seeing 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, whatever, however. I don't even care how many people are out there. Just the sea of people. There's nothing like it, man. Nothing like it. I can't wait, man. I can't. It's going to be – both of those shows are going to melt faces. That's guaranteed.
I love it. They're going to melt faces. But, you know, I also feel you, bro, because – you know, I'm in the fight world. I'm a photographer in the fight world. And, bro, I just can't get into these fights with no crowd. I mean,
right.
I love them because I'm a fight fanatic, and it's who I am. But I just, as a musician, I couldn't even picture playing with nobody there. You know, it's like, I know what that feels like
yep.
to be a promoter because I promoted
right.
shows and nobody showed up, and I lost
mm-hmm.
10 to 12 grand in one night and 8 to 10
right.
grand the following night, and I still paid my bands. You know, the thing of it is I still
right.
paid them.
Oh, yeah.
It sucks because, you know, it happens. You can't count on the house to be packed every time, but I can guarantee you, Springfield, Missouri is going to be packed. I'm going to be there for one because I wouldn't miss the return of Nate White with Brand of Freak or with Hippie Death Squad because I know how much passion and time you've put into this. And I don't think people really understand, you know, the statement that you made. You said you really have been in isolation for the last 4 years, not just the last 3.5-4 months. How much dedication
right.
does it truly take to create Nate White?
Dude, it takes every bit of my life, man. I mean, you know, having three kids takes up, well, the rest. And so every single minute, hour, day, I've got to work on what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. It's a lot of dedication. You've got, I mean, it's just like if you're a profession in anything, if you're an auto mechanic, okay, you are, that's what you do. That's what your head is focused on. And you're the best mechanic you can possibly be. You know, it's the same way with what I'm doing. I'm trying to be the best, have fun is the most important thing. And really show people my insides, you know, my heart, my mind, you know, through these albums and through this, you know, as well as I do, Don, I've got a lot of stuff, not just Princess Superhero. I've got a lot of aspects that, with the cigarette album, for instance, we're going to start a YouTube channel here, hopefully in the next few months, going out and working with homeless people. And I say working with homeless people, creating music with homeless people, you know, the same way me and you did when you came out to the studio and we recorded our on the spot recordings is what I'm calling it. But that I there's so many aspects. It takes up so much of your time and your brain. I mean, I have like files upon files upon files of details in my brain that, and well, on my computer too, but it's mostly in my brain. But it takes an incredible amount of time and effort to do what I'm trying to do. I don't think it's been done before, but I'm sure. No, it's never been done before. So that's why everybody thinks I'm a nut job. But swear to God, Don, it's gonna happen.
Well, I already know, bro. I'm your number one fan, so we'll just get that out there. You know, people look at things that we do, you know, musicians, fighters, TV stars, and we all create visions, and we all have these visions in our heart and in our head. How hard is it to implement that vision into your work?
Oh, it's not hard, I don't think. I mean, dude, you have a vision and you just you roll with it, you know. You just do. I mean, it's part of your every breath you take. It's a part of every beat your heart makes, man. I mean, it's a part of you. You are so involved in what you're doing. And for just to take, for instance, the thing I just mentioned, you know, Nate White Music presents On the Spot Recordings, where I go out and I create this music with these homeless people, and 100% of the proceeds go to that city's homeless shelter to help these people. Okay, that's something that inspires me, that drives me. I want to do more for the homeless than the church can. You know what I'm saying? And it's a big deal, man. I mean, but you got to have those people on board that see your vision as well. It's not just me, because I can sit there and tell anybody about my vision, and it's not going to become a reality unless you get the team of people and the people that truly see what you're trying to do and help you succeed at it. And that's my whole goal. When I get in each project, it's its own thing. I mean, it drives itself, really.
That's what inspires me about you, bro, is you just don't preach about it. You live it. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play another track, and then when we come back, we'll kind of wrap things up. But we're going to go ahead and drop the new heavy, and we're going to play it in its
like
entirety too, and we'll be right back. Dude, I was so into that, I hit my head on the microphone.
Dude, hey,
thanks, Nate.
Now
I got a lump on my forehead.
Dude, a big shout out to Brian Kemp from Pillbox, again, drummer, playing with me on that, man. We created something special with that one. I don't know, man. I dig it.
Oh, I dig it. I dug it so much, I'm going to have a big black mark on my forehead. You know, I love it because, Nate, I've known you for years, man, and I've watched so many groups formulate, correlate, and grow from Springfield, Missouri, and you're doing it, man. Now you got the backing of DJP, who's a tremendous man. He makes careers happen. You know, amongst the darkness, what does all this light mean to Nate White and Nate White Music?
Well, I mean, it means a new beginning, you know, and maybe this whole 2020 shitty ass year will blossom and become a beautiful flower in Nate right. White Music world. At least that's my goal. So, time will tell, man. Hopefully either we'll find a vaccine or we'll figure something out, or we'll all go to shows and wear gloves and masks and I don't know, maybe buy condoms and all mosh around. And but anyway, there's got to be a way, you know. That's the thing is the Outland Ballroom where we're playing, you know, they're struggling right now. A lot of venues, so many venues around this entire country are struggling right now, even to keep their doors open. You know, and you can go on the Outland Ballroom if you guys are just go search the Outland Ballroom. You can buy T-shirts to help them sustain, to stay open and try to open whenever they do. And I'm hoping, you know, hell, you know as well as I do, Black Joe Lewis is coming on the 29th. And I sure hope the Outland's open then because I'm going to go. I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to wear some gloves. And I'm going to enjoy me some Black Joe Lewis because that dude's amazing. But I'm just saying the Outland Ballroom and many of these venues around the country are struggling right now, you know. And God willing, and they will be open in July, hopefully. You know, I'm crossing my fingers. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's meant to be. You know, that's the way I look at life. I can't be disappointed. You know, you can't. You can be disappointed, I guess, but you can't live on disappointment. You know, you just have to. If I've got to reschedule, I got to reschedule, and you know that's just not when it's supposed to happen. And I'm good with that. But if it does happen, boy, it's gonna be on like Donkey Kong, guaranteed. But
the bright side of things, though,
then
bro,
we need to survive.
Yeah, the bright side things, man, are the restaurants are going to 50% capacity. On the 15th.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
if the restaurants are going to, you know, 50% capacity, at least there will be some sort of show. And
right.
I can't see that not happening. You know, social distancing sucks and I don't agree with it. You know, I'm actually a person with a low immune deficiency system and
right.
I haven't worn gloves, a mask or hand sanitized my hands once, but yet I've not gotten sick. But, you know, there goes their theory, and I kind of threw it out the window because I'm just an anarchist, man. I buck the system anyway. No, I'm joking. I'm not an anarchist, man. I'm just an American that really is passionate. You know, Nate, I enjoy having you on my show because, you know, my music shows I don't do very often, and when I do them, I like to bring on world-class talent. I like to bring on some of the best musicians and artists from around the world. You know, I look back at Soul Rebel Project, International Artist of the Year for the last 3 years in a row. Oh, can't even talk, bro. You see, you got me all worked up.
I'm sorry. No,
it's
I know
all right.
What you're talking about. That dude's awesome, dude. That dude is incredible.
Yeah, Michael Francis. Yeah, that dude rocks. But
yes.
They took International Artist of the Year for the last 3 years, you know. So when I bring people on my show, I bring it because I think they're going to create a big difference in the future in the industry. And I've been 99.9% accurate. And I see that in you, brother, and I believe in you. And I think that you're going to be the next great sensation to come out of Springfield, Missouri. I think you're going to be the next artist that the world truly recognizes. And the sad part about that is you'll be the most hated. And that's what I don't get about life, you know. People told me, oh, you can't become anything from Springfield, Missouri. Well, I became a two-time Hall of Fame Emmy Award-winning journalist and photographer, only to get hate. But my message is, if you don't have haters, then you're not doing something right. And, bro, you're going to
tear the haters can hate all day. The haters can hate all day, but us lovers are going to love everybody every day.
And
that's
all
night. And, well,
and all night, bro.
Yeah. Not so much for me as of late, but you know my situation. But, yes.
I'm not going there. You know.
I know, right?
But Black Joe Lewis, bro, you promised me you were going to bring me with you, so you better get me a ticket. I'll pay for it.
I got our tickets already, buddy.
I already got them.
You
know, I see you on the same level as them. You know, it's crazy because people think that I'm just in the rap. I listen to everything from bluegrass to classical to everything. Nate, what inspires you to play so many different instruments? Because I think people need to realize that you just don't sing, you just don't play guitar. I mean, you play drums, bass, everything. What was it that made you decide that you were going to become that one-man band?
Well, man, I'll tell you what, I started on saxophone. You know, my mom bought me one of those Bundys. And it's a beautiful, I still have it. It's awesome. It's not, you know, your top-of-the-line saxophone. But to me, I don't give, if you can play an instrument, you can make whatever instrument sound beautiful. You don't have to have a $5,000 saxophone to make it sound like it's a $5,000 saxophone. Okay, so I grew up on a saxophone. I still play it occasionally. You know, I played, you know, in a few songs on the one of my other albums called Passenger. But I stopped playing that. I'd say stopped. I never stopped, but I was in a band called Averson. Damon Horst was the guitar player, and he taught me guitar. Dude, on a saxophone, you can play one note at a time. As soon as I started learning guitar, you play chords. You can, you know, it's like a piano in a sense. And I learned so much from playing guitar. Then I got into bass. And then, you know, of course, you know, I got into drums. I bought a clarinet. I got a couple of trumpets. I got a trombone. I've got a lot of different instruments. I'm the jack of all trades. I'm the master of none. But I don't care if I'm a master. I'd rather be a master songwriter than be a master at a saxophone, to me. Like, write everything and the beauty comes out, you know. I don't know. I started on saxophone, went to guitar, bass, drums, all these different instruments. And you know, I own two organs and trying to teach my daughter a little bit of organ. And I'm the worst teacher, Don. I'm probably going to be here in some serious classes. But anyway, every instrument has a voice. And I just want to know how to manipulate that voice, you know, as well as I can. So, you know, it's always about learning. You know, I will never stop learning. And I don't think people should ever stop learning. That's one of the main things in my life. You know, I was told once by someone that they were done learning. And it blew my mind. I was just like, huh? Like, seriously? Like, you've got to learn every day. So if there's something interesting, somebody offers me advice or say, hey, man, I can teach you a little bit on the banjo, I'm going to pick up the banjo and I'm going to learn it, you know. And that, I don't know. I don't know what inspires me to play different instruments. It just kind of happens, you know. Like, I want to know how to play everything.
All right. Hey, I don't blame you. You know, hey, for my listeners on iHeart, Univision, CastBox, please download this episode. The more downloads we get, the more airtime we get played again in live succession next week, the more we get played in rotation. You know, bro, your arch nemesis sent me a little sample. You brought his name up earlier in the show. So, I mean, I kind of think I got to play him now since your daughters kind of like him. And, you know, you brought his name up. I think we need to give him a little diddle ship. Humperstump a little airtime.
Oh, shit.
Well, here we go.
I'm always down, man. My daughter's inside listening to it right now, so she'll get a kick out of this. She'll love it. To get a hold of him and see if that is even possible, but we're going to try to make something like that happen.
Yeah,
I don't know, bro.
Will,
you know, yeah, for sure.
That would cross pollinate.
Yes, and then maybe have DJP spin some vinyl in between. What do you say?
Oh, that'd be sick. Yeah.
Be sick.
You know,
it would be sick.
It would be. You know, I want to bring something up about DJP before we kind of wrap things up. This is a man that was, they had the finals, I think it was the finals on a boat. The wind was blowing, and now mind you, he doesn't play like all the other DJs. He's truly old school, vinyl only.
Yep, straight
the
vinyl.
The wind catches one of the vinyls that was spinning in mid-performance.
The boat, man.
Yeah, on the boat.
It blows it straight off the boat, dude. It's in the sea somewhere.
And he kept it going. He acted like nothing happened. And if you weren't watching the performance, you wouldn't even realize that had
nope.
happened.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
dude is just
That's how
so
smooth that dude
damn
is.
Sick.
Yeah, he is.
You know, but I want people to know one thing about him. Not only did he win Mixmaster Season 2, this is a gentleman that came from the 417. And would make $10,000 a night in Vegas because he's
right.
that dope, you know. So
yep.
that's more proof to the story that you're not bound by where you come from. You're bound
True.
By what you limit yourself to.
Yeah.
And that's what I think about tonight's show was so tremendous because, you know, Nate, you refuse to give up. And in your heart, the show will always go on.
Right.
So if you had to give a message to this, or a statement to the fans of Nate White Music, Brand of Freak, or Hippie Death Squad, what would that statement be, my brother?
Better get your popcorn ready.
Right?
That's all I got to say, man. There's some stuff about to hit, so it's going to drop. For real.
It's going to drop hard. You know, Nate, it was an honor for me to have you on the show tonight. I know I took you a little over an hour, but I had to share every aspect, and then the old diddleship hits me up and kind of wants to show you up on your own interview. That's kind of dope, bro.
I really can't believe he came on and sent you that in the middle of our interview, man. That kind of blows my mind.
Right?
But I'm glad you played him because I think he's sick. I think he's dope.
So do I. You know,
DJP, I heard a little thing, man, you know, that Hoodstrong Entertainment might be jumping on board with him too as well. So watch out.
Oh, shit. That'll be sick. That'll be sick. You know, people, the return of Brand of Freak, July 18th. Now, that's also at the Outland Ballroom, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's the only place I'll play in this town. I don't know. There's a lot of good venues, though, man. There are. There's a lot of good venues. But Jimmy's my boy, man. I love that guy. I've known him forever. And we'll always play at his place when I'm in town, for sure.
Most definitely. I love the Outland. I've shot so many bands coming off world tours or starting world tours from that place, and that place will always be ingrained in my heart. It's one of the only club I will shoot at in Springfield, Missouri. As we know, Remington's downtown. The last show there, I got stabbed, and
right. That
venue got closed down. That was a trip, man. Here I am shooting Digerati, and some kid on drugs jumps up on stage and tries to steal a laptop from the artist while he's performing. And then he's cutting the artist up and stabbing him, and I go to help him, and I get stabbed myself. And to sit back and watch security do nothing, it was like, what the hell? I didn't even realize I was stabbed, bro, until I looked down on my shorts and I started seeing blood just start dropping. And you know, it was just like, it was a crazy night. But I'm glad they shut that place down, because the true clubs need to represent the true artist, which you are. I can't wait for July 24th, Hippie Death Squad, and the return of Nate White Music. That is going to be tremendous, Springfield. Nate, where can they get tickets? How can people get to these two events? I mean,
you can go on
stage back to back.
Yeah, the Brand of Freak show, that's Saturday the 18th. It's just at the door. It's just kind of a thing we threw together, so it's not like we're pre-selling tickets for that or anything. But the Hippie Death Squad show, you can get tickets on Eventbrite.com, and I believe they're only $7. Or if you live in this area or surrounding area, you can get a mat, stick it in your ear, Kaleidoscope. Heavy Heads Records and City Music, and all of them are such great local businesses. And I always say this, man, shop local, you know what I mean? But it's $7 straight. It's just $7, man, to get in. $10 at the door for the Hippie Death Squad show on Friday, July 24th. And we got a bunch of bands that night, man. We got Grindstone Creek coming from St. Joe. They're kind of like, like pirate punk, man. It's awesome. It's Kari Crow. She's amazing. Brian Smith from Hemlock plays drums for him. And if you don't know Hemlock, you should. The sickest underground metal band for the last 20 years from Vegas. We also have Elijah coming from Oklahoma City. We've got Dirty Molly and the one and only Chris Coates, man. It's going to be a great night.
Dirty Molly's sick. I'm going to throw something on the table. First 10 people that hit me up, I will buy your ticket to either the July 24th event with Hippie Death Squad or to the July 18th event with Brand of Freak. The first 10 people in Springfield or surrounding area that hit me up, I will buy your tickets, because I believe in the Outland Ballroom, and I support the Outland Ballroom, and I support Nate White in each one of his ventures, and trust me, people, it's
and
a show
dope,
you don't want to miss.
That's dope. Everybody hit Don up on that, man. Get in on this, man.
Yeah, I will. The first 10 people hit me up, I will buy your tickets to either event. And I don't do that for many, but man, this shit's fitting to break off and be real. And I'm going to be in-house, and I can't wait, brother. Hopefully we get to see Black Joe Lewis too, man. That'd be pretty cool.
I know, man. I can't wait, man.
Right? Springfield, rise up. Show your local talent some love. Show them how much you appreciate what they're bringing to your community. We can't exist without you. With that being said, Nate, it's truly been an honor, man. Even though we're homies, I don't think a lot of people realize that I don't just bring anybody on my music show. Like I said earlier, you're one that I'll bring on time and time again. You know, you hit me up because generally I'm booked a month or two out on any of my shows, but when it comes to family, I'll allocate my time. I mean, that's just a given.
I love you, brother. And I appreciate it.
I love
it.
You too, homie.
The honor is all on this side, my friend.
No,
sure.
your family shows me a lot of love, man, especially your mom. She's a tremendous lady, and you're a tremendous aspect of my life. And if I can't give back to you, then what good am I? With that being said, man, I'm going to toss the mic to you, Nate. If there's anything else you want to add to the show before we kind of wrap things up, homie, the floor is yours.
No, man. I appreciate every single person that tuned in and listened tonight. Don McGuire's the man. This album will be pressed in the next 3 months. We're going to rock this. We're going to take it off. And much love to everyone. And that is what drives this world, is love. Just remember that. Love. Anyway, Don, I appreciate you, man. I really do.
Hey, I appreciate you, brother. I can't wait for you to show. I'm going to be at both. Hopefully they'll let me either shoot it or record it or one of the others so I can have a memory for you. On that note, I love you, homie. I can't wait.
Love you too,
brother.
Keep
it going, and I'll probably see you at the studio before then, but thank you for coming on the show tonight and sharing who you are with my world.
All right, my brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. God bless you, homie. Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Nate White. Tremendous, tremendous man. And people, you hit me up, the first 10 people to hit me up, I will buy tickets to the July 24th event with Nate White and Hippie Death Squad, or the Brand of Freak reunion show on July 18th. DM me on Facebook. I will buy your ticket, the first 10 people that hit me up. With that being said, I just want to tell people, keep their heads up. You know, life is a struggle right now, but we can all continue to keep things going in the right direction. You know, create love, create unity, and, you know, this hate has to stop. It really does. You know, it just doesn't make any sense for people to attack each other when we've lived in harmony for so many years. And we let social media tear us down. And that's not what life's about. That's not what I'm about. We're going to end the show tonight with Soul Rebel Project, a song called Unity. And I think it's a much-needed song. Have a good night. God bless.
Spread love to all the people. Here we go now, feeling love now. Solidarity, unity, love to all the people. Spread love to all the people.
It's free speech.
Why do we put ourselves in boxes, categories, and divisions are toxic? Just one blood running through everyone's veins. Yeah, yeah. Say do not judge others if your hands are clean or dirty. People struggling through things unseen, yeah. I said all that they need is some upliftment and encouragement. That's what we came to do, yeah. Time to turn around your attitude and just realize how we get to. So many people struggling, all they need is some love, yeah. Here we go now, feeling love now. Solidarity and unity, love to all the people, spread love to all the people. here we go now. We're feeling love now. Solidarity, unity, love to all the people.
Every nation,
spread love to all the people.
Too much people crying, people dying. Let's do something for the living.
Too much people crying, people dying. Let's do something for the living.
Get the youth, see them one more time, that number works. You're taking a 20, that number works. You see from before, man, that number works. You need a better plan, need a better plan. Picking up a gun, say that number works. For my blood to run, say that number works. Kill a next man's son, that number works. You need a better plan, why?
Here we go now, we're feeling love now. In solidarity and unity, love to all the people.
To all my people,
spread there. Love to all the people.
Near and far.
Here we go now, we're feeling love now. In solidarity and unity, love to all the people.
So wherever Kenya,
spread love to all the people. Why do we treat each other this way?
It's because of poverty, I say. Yeah.
All we need is love and unity.
Respect each other like brothers and sisters. All we need is unity.